The following content is rated explicit for language in adult situations.
So listen with headphones.
Or don't. We don't judge.
Have you ever wished that your world had more magic?
Or that your favorite character had survived?
How about a full-length spin-off of your favorite childhood series?
Then do we have a podcast for you?
Hello, Fire Whiskers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Kat.
And this is Fire Whiskey and Honey, the podcast about your favorite novel-length Potter fan fiction.
The Debt of Time.
Each episode, we read a chapter of this story.
And try to stay on topic.
Which is easier said than done.
Without further ado, here's this week's chapter of The Debt of Time.
Annyeonghaseyo, Kat.
Wow. Impressed. Good job. Thank you.
I can say three things in Korean. 안녕하세요, which is hello. 배고파, which is I'm hungry. And, oh, 사랑해, which is I love you. So, hello, I'm hungry, I love you. And apparently, if you know those three things, Koreans will just take care of you forever. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey.
Speaking of guests and introducing things, that was a really terrible lead-in. But we have a guest today. A very exciting guest. I know we've kind of teased about this in previous episodes, but would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Mike Schuber. I once had never read the Harry Potter books until I was 25 / I finished them by the time I was like 26 or 27. I took 3 years to read 7 books over my podcast Potterless, but I'm here now. I'm a fully formed Harry Potter fan boy.
And we are so excited to have you here.
Especially me.
Especially Kat.
I'm just going to take my one chance to say it because I just have to get this out. Like, I found your podcast when I was going through a really hard time in life. And even though it wasn't as hard as what most people go through, for me, it was my struggle. And you made me laugh and smile again. So Thank you.
I'm so glad. It's honestly, that's something I like when I made the podcast. I had no idea that was a whole like genre of people that I could reach. I was like, maybe people will laugh at this and it will be fun. So anytime I hear something like that, it really means a lot to me. So I am so glad that a silly little show about me messing up details in Harry Potter could bring you joy in a time that you needed it.
Yeah, I needed it very badly, and it helped a lot. Like, I was laughing again, and I was like texting Claire constantly and be like, guess what, I'm learning about Harry Potter through somebody who was just reading them for the first time, so it's awesome. So you actually helped me learn a little bit, since I've never read them either.
Oh, nice. Cool. That's very fun.
Yeah. That has actually been super helpful in this podcast, because for our listeners, I did send him a rundown of what's happened in the Debt of Time so far, which is highly condensed version of a year and a half of recording.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. I have not read any novel length fan fiction. I've only done little like one shot stories. So reading that summary, that was hefty.
A lot of things go on. It's incredibly, incredibly well done. Like, Shia, the author, blows my mind constantly. But she does pull a lot of stuff from canon. So having Kat have Potterless as a way to sort of learn the Harry Potter books before we did this was so freaking useful. Because she's like, I remember this from Shoes.
That's awesome. Oh, I love to hear it.
Yeah, because I would be like, okay, I learned this from you, and then I learned this from the movie. And then I was like, wait. Okay, that didn't actually happen. And then I could see the differences and compare and contrast. And I was like, whoa, they did leave a lot out. I get it now. It's crazy.
So yeah, we are, and I'm sure our listeners are still like freaking out because we haven't told anybody who the guest is. We just kind of hyped it up.
Oh,
and
cool. I like the mystique.
Like, really exciting. Yeah, so you're our secret weapon this week. And I am super stoked about it. Mainly because We recently did a bit on the Book Rewind podcast, which is a smaller podcast, kind of like ours. And then when Kat reached out to me and she was like, so I did a thing on Twitter and I think Mike Schubert's going to record with us. And I was like, I'm sorry, you did what?
Well, I mean, I've definitely heard your name around, and I believe at one point you supported the show on Patreon under the name of Fire Whiskey and Honey, right? So it was definitely a familiar name I had seen around. So when I saw the message, I thought, oh, yeah, it seems like some nice folks from what I've seen around the internet. And if they were nice enough to support my podcast, the least I could do is devote some time to talk about a Harry Potter story.
Guy, friends. Shoobs knows who we are. Oh,
God. I am just a boy, I promise. I'm just a boy that didn't read books and then did.
Well, we are super glad to have you on the show, and let's show you what we do. Kat?
Let's.
What had happened was...
What had happened was... Okay, oh, wait, so...
Previously on Fire, Whiskey, and Honey.
Oh, Claire.
The voice.
How bad do you want to be the in a world? Okay, so what had happened was last time we met, we got some sad news, unfortunately, that Doria has passed away, so that hurt our hearts very badly. And all of the kids went up to the roof so they could be out in the fresh air and get away from everybody in the hospital. And Lily made sure that Charles was okay. And then he was like, no, I don't need anything. Just make sure everybody gets back to Potter Manor okay, and it's fine. And then she's like, well, I'll send Tilly to come take care of you. So everybody got back to Potter Manor, and Lily calls for Tilly, and she was like, I need you to go back to the hospital and take care of Charles because he's not in a very good place right now. And then Maya had the moment where she was like, oh, I've become Tilly's mistress, and I feel some type of way about that because as Hermione, we know she tried to advocate for house elves' rights and all of that, so that's a little bit weird.
Quick pause. For Mike's benefit, Tilly is the Potter house elf.
Got it. I was going to say, feels like a little confusing to have Tilly be under Lily, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Doria Potter, who is the Potter matriarch, has just passed away. Tilly was her house elf, and now she passes from mother to daughter, so she is now Maya, who is Hermione, but in the past.
Right. And how old was Doria when she passed? Because from what I understand, I don't know if this is following like canonically how it was in the Harry Potter series, but my understanding was that Harry Potter's grandparents also didn't live to be too long either.
Yeah, I think she was like maybe 50s because I know she had James later in life.
Okay.
So if he's 16 at this point, we assume she had him at maybe like 40. She's probably about 56.
Okay. And then in this story, do they still have, which I think like Pottermore, one of those things said that like they made their money from like a hair growing potion or something? Right?
Sleakeasy's hair potion and Skele-Grow.
Amazing. So, yes. Okay. Skele-Grow, I've been on record as thinking it's the worst named thing ever. But as someone that obsesses over their hair far too much, I can appreciate them making their family fortune on a hair. Like, if there was a potion that I could put into my hair and it would just keep it perfectly in place and I wouldn't have to deal with, like, locking it down via pomades or hairspray or something, I would put in good money into that. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I would need that too for the Florida humidity I got going on.
Ooh, yeah. I lived in Houston for 10 years and my mom has curly hair. So once humidity comes into play, her life is just an entire, it's Barb versus Frizz every day of her life.
Barb versus Frizz. Sounds like a really good sitcom. Anyway, sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off there, Kat.
Okay, I cut you off all the time. It's fine.
All right, so Tilly was saying that she was going to be under Maya, and go.
Yeah, so that made Maya obviously feel some type of way because Hermione was a big advocate for house elves' rights and all of that, so she was like, I don't know how I feel about this. So then everybody, her, Sirius, Remus, and all of them got together, and they were just hanging out in bed, comforting each other and everything, and then Maya fell asleep, and she had a dream slash memory. And in that memory, she was greeted by Ron and Sirius, older Sirius, not baby Sirius, and Tonks and all of them. And she was like really sad because it was like right after she, what is the word, Claire, obliviate her parents?
Right? It was after she had obliviated her parents, but she had portkeyed to Australia to see them.
And they didn't recognize her and all of that. So she got really sad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that wasn't, like, fun for her, and Sirius was trying to calm her down and everything, and she was just like, but my parents don't know who I am and all that, and then Tonks appeared and was starting to comfort her, and then this is where I got seriously confused, and I'm still confused because Google cannot help me, but Tonks called Hermione Pack slash family, and this was when she was 18, before she went back in time, before the Pack bond was sealed. So how in the hell does Tonks know that she is Pack? But we'll get to that later, because I'm like, what? So there was that, and then she woke up and saw everybody around her and was like, being Pack and family is more important now than ever since Doria is gone. So she kind of had like that light bulb moment. And then at the very end of the chapter, we got a little bit of comic relief because James confessed to Lily that he knows how she likes her tea. And she was like, you know how I like my tea? And it kind of got him a little bit hot and bothered. And she's like, well, maybe a cooling charm would help you. And then Maya was joking with her that you totally love him. And she was like, I do not.
I don't know about tea etiquette, but I feel like there's only so many ways to have your tea that knowing how someone likes it isn't necessarily like, oh my God, he knows me so well.
Well, it was like really detailed to the point of, well, you like it with lemon and sugar, but no milk. But also sometimes specific. You forget to like stir it and then you let it get lukewarm and then you forget to drink it and then you get to the bottom and it's all sugar and you make a face. It was like, it was really detailed.
Okay, that makes more sense. My normal tea requirements are just like hot, but not too hot. Yeah. Like, that's how I like my tea.
Are you ready to dive into chapter 70?
Yeah, I didn't miss anything, right? I got it all.
No, you got it all.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. Cool. Good. Yeah. Also, it wasn't James who was getting hot and bothered. It was Lily.
Dang it. I interpreted that wrong then.
Yeah, no, Maya was the one giving her shit. And she was like, do you need a cooling charm? And that was when Lily screamed Jesus Christ at the top of her lungs, which was really fun to record and not try and pop my audio. But, alrighty. Without further ado, let us hop into chapter 70, Primum Osculum. Also, fuck you, Shia, for putting so many goddamn Latin words in the chapter titles. I stopped taking Latin in the seventh grade. I don't know.
Well, luckily our guest took Latin. So.
Yes, he did.
You did.
In high school for 3 whole years.
Catholic high school?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I assumed.
The real reason was I moved to Texas from New Jersey right after eighth grade. So I went from a place where our language was just like once a week I had Spanish class to where I was picking my classes in my Texas high school. People freshman year were like trying to lobby the principal to let them skip Spanish 1. Like that was the world I went into. So I was like, okay, I definitely can't take Spanish. I'll be so out of my league because I didn't take it in middle school really. So that's off the book. Then the only other options were Latin and French. And I thought, when am I ever going to need to speak French? So I took Latin. I also heard the whole like helps you English on the SAT thing. And then, of course, fast forward 6 years, I lived in France for 6 months because of a engineering work thing. So I could have taken the useful one, but at least Latin has helped me understand some English stuff and Harry Potter spells. So it's all come around.
So in the end, technically Latin was the more useful language.
Yeah,
because it's
probably
definitely made you more money.
Yeah. I don't know the direct correlation between me being able to make jokes about taking Latin in high school to career success. But I took Latin in high school merchandise now, so I think I can somehow now draw the line between Latin taken in high school and money made directly from it.
That's amazing. And like, I feel like your Latin teacher's just sitting there going, I did that.
I hope so. Father Bellish was just the sweetest, gentlest old man ever. Just the kindest soul. And he taught me Latin freshman year. And I very, very much loved that dude and wish him nothing but the best. So if word gets back to him, I hope he would be proud and not disappointed.
Aw, that just made my cool little heart warm up. I say that like I still have a cold heart, but I see when Kat knew me in high school, my nickname was Ice Bitch. So like, okay. In my defense, the first guy who ever asked me out dumped me 3 days later for her. Also,
oh, wow.
Pointing, but I don't know where she actually is on Zoom.
On
right
the
now,
Zoom, you pointed to me, which is fun. So I like to live in the world where I am your Haley Williams and I stole your boyfriend.
Yeah, but she stole the boyfriend. And so after that, I was like, no man's ever going to hurt me again. So I just became an asshole. And now I'm like, you know, married with a baby on the way. So now I'm all like, you know, melty and warm-hearted and crap. But I still like to pretend I'm a hard bitch. It's fine. All right. Now that we've digressed again. Oh, well.
Yeah. Anyway, the dead of time.
Anyway, the dead of time. Chapter 70. Primum Osculum. September 1st, 1977. Right. So last year we had some trouble with points being taken away needlessly. Please try to remember that as prefects, not only are you representing your own respective houses, but the school as a whole. Bias should not be brought into this. Lily informed the gathered prefects in the large cabin at the front of the train. I know the previous head boy and girl were a little relaxed in the organization of meetings, but I fully plan on keeping up on each and every one of you to make sure all houses are being treated fairly. Yes, even Slytherin. She eyed Snape, his black eyes possibly even darker than they had ever been as he glared at James. Even though Gryffindor has not won the House Cup in the entirety of my time at Hogwarts, I don't intend to cheat during my last year just so my own house can throw a little party. Potter? Lily turned to James, who stood beside her in loose-fitting robes, looking more relaxed than ever. The only thing polished about him was the head boy badge pinned to his robes. As head boy, do you have anything you'd like to add? James smiled. No, you've covered everything meticulously, as usual, Miss Evans. Several prefects laughed. When Lily flushed a bit at the noise, James turned and raised a brow at the crowd. That wasn't a joke. He sighed and ran his hand down his face. Maya only felt slightly bad for him. Being head boy was not something he had asked for. Ooh, Mike, now you get to hear the flashback noise.
Ooh, wow, very professional.
Thank you.
That's impressive.
We run a high quality podcast here.
A few notes before we go into the flashback here, if I may interrupt. Does Snape have canonically black eyes? Is that a thing?
I think they're like really, really, really dark brown.
I guess so, yeah.
So when he gets angry, they just kind of look black. But
that's very funny.
Now I'm picturing like actual black eyes and it's horrifying. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm imagining like person that the clue that they have been, you know, corrupted by the evil person in a horror movie. Like, oh, his eyes are all black.
It should be noted that in this story, like throughout, that Shia always points out eye color. It's really important to talk about mood, especially for the Marauders because of all their animagus shift. So it's always pointed out to kind of talk about mood.
Okay.
Just since you haven't seen that context from the previous 69 chapters.
Right. Okay, nice. So the eyes are mood rings. Got it.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So. Maya, Remus! Lily shrieked loudly as she ran through the corridors of Potter Manor, a large envelope in one hand, shiny gold badge in the other, and a look of pure rapture on her face. Her eyes sparkled like emeralds. I got it! You got it? Maya sat up from the drawing room sofa where she had been snuggled up beside Remus. She was delighted for her friend, though a slight glint of jealousy dug under her skin. Sirius walked into the room, a half-eaten apple in his engine grease-covered hands. His long black hair was pulled back into a loose knot at the back of his head, and oil stains covered his white shirt.
Got what? What'd I miss?
Here! Lily grinned and thrust several other letters she'd been carrying out to each of them, handing the last to James without so much as a glance as he followed Sirius into the room. Hogwarts letters just arrived, and I'm head girl.
Congratulations, Lily. No one deserves it more than you, Remus said,
ignoring the teasing glare Maya was throwing at him. Open yours, Remus, Lily squealed. Let's see your head boy badge. Remus suddenly frowned.
You don't know that I got it. In fact, I'd prefer I didn't. I even asked Dumbledore to take my name out of consideration. Between Newts and everything else, I doubt I'll be able to keep up with the responsibilities of prefect, let alone head boy.
Maya squeezed his hand in understanding. She knew that he had set up a meeting before term ended in June to discuss his future with the headmaster. Remus had been her top pick for head boy, But knowing that his future could depend on his Newt scores, he was determined not to let anything get in the way of top marks. Lily frowned, her shoulders slumping forward a bit at the news.
I'm sorry you feel that way, Remus, but honestly, who else would they pick? Oh, fuck. Maya, Lily, and Remus turned to look across the room, where James stood, looking pale and wide-eyed as he held his Hogwarts letter in one hand and something shiny in the other. Sirius laughed as he read over James's shoulder. This is the best day ever.
Oh my god.
You got head boy? Maya yelled excitedly. She shouldn't have been surprised, having known that Harry's parents had been head boy and girl. Still, it was quite different thinking of them as Harry's parents and not Lily and Jamie. You got head boy? Lily echoed Maya's statement with an incredulous tone, looking slightly horrified, maybe even a little offended considering how hard she had worked for her badge and title. Remus laughed in disbelief. You've got to be kidding me. I don't understand. James looked up, confused. Lily folded her arms across her chest. That makes two of us. Oh, Merlin. Sirius guffawed, holding his side. I needed that today. Prongs is head boy. What the bloody hell was Dumbledore thinking? I got prefect again, Remus noted as he opened his own letter. I'm apparently Lily's prefect replacement. Maya pulled out a familiar-looking badge, remembering how excited she had been the first time she had got it at the beginning of her original fifth year. Well, look at you four with your matching badges. Sirius cooed at them all as if they were babies. Want me to take a picture? Lily rolled her eyes at Sirius and moved to leave the room, angrily muttering, I have to owl my parents. Sirius called after her. I'm sure they'll be fine with you sharing quarters with Prongs. She spun in shock, nearly tripping over her own feet in the process. What? Lily, Maya tried to stifle her laughter, but Sirius was not having that problem in the slightest as he was leaning against the wall to keep himself from falling over. Head boy and head girl share a common room, each with their own bedroom, of course, but it's not in Gryffindor Tower with the rest of us. I have to live with him?
Oh.
Is that a real thing in the books?
I don't know if that's a real thing in the books. It's very common in fan fiction, though.
Where the head boy and the head girl, where do they live?
It's like a special small tower where it's usually like one room on one side, one room on the other. And when you come into the middle, there's like a dining area and like a common room.
Okay.
And it's a really common trope in fan fiction of the, they had to share a dorm. And then, of course, they end up, you know, in love and getting it on and all that good stuff.
Yes, getting it on is what we know best in this story.
Hello, it's fan fiction, it's smut. Like, that's, it goes with the...
Yes,
not all fan fiction is smut.
Is that trope based off something in reality? Like, in British boarding schools, do the head boy and head girl go, like, have a separate thing? Or is it just, like, fan fiction has decided that this is the way we get characters together, is they become head boy and head girl, and now they're, you know, roommates, effectively?
I don't know. But we do have a lot of British listeners. So listeners, if you happen to know if the head boy and head girl of the prefects do have their own living arrangements, please let us know.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way on Potterless. I was like, head boy, that's a silly name for valedictorian. And then people emailed me like, no, it's a thing, you like, dingus.
Yeah, no, I didn't know prefects were a real thing until friends of mine who lived in England.
That was the eternal struggle and why I had to bring Dottie James in the mix on Potterless, because like I literally and still continue to struggle to know if something is British or magic, because it was all new to me, so I didn't know what was what.
Is it British or is it magic? Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm gonna tuck that one away.
That's a fun game.
Is it British? Tarts. I was fully convinced that those were like a Honeydukes thing, but no, they're real, and now I've eaten them.
I love Harry Potter. It makes me happy.
Bringing people together.
It does.
You know where you are?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Lily, you've been after the head girl position for years. You know the dormitory arrangements, Remus pointed out with a smirk. Also, to be fair, you've been living with him for the last 2 months.
Yes, but that's different. It's... Lily stammered.
Sirius grinned. Not private.
Shh, shh, shh.
So that was all in the flashback world of Lily and James not together yet, but post Snape saying Lily's a mudblood? Is that where that lives? Okay.
Yes. So canonically, within this story, Lily and James are still not together.
Okay.
They are just starting to not be, well, she's starting to not hate him.
Right.
Because he's been in love with her since he was 11. But yeah, this is where they're starting to get along a little more. And instead of like outright repulsion, she just kind of like tolerates him.
Got it.
So, yeah.
I thought canonically they didn't get together till seventh year anyway.
Yeah, that was my understanding, is that he was a, you know, he was a school bully until year seven, and he was like, well, what if I was nice? And then she was like, well, fine, now I'll date you.
What if I wasn't a giant asshole? Wow, people like me.
Oh my gosh, who'd have thunk?
Imagine that, Claire.
Rude.
Hey, you're the one who brought up your nickname in high school, so perfect segue.
The prefects begin filing out of the meeting one by one, leaving behind James, Lily, Remus, Maya, and a sneering Severus Snape. He ignored Lily entirely, putting his entire focus on his hatred for James.
It's absurd that after everything you've done over the last 6 years, Potter, the old coot made you, of all students, head boy. Thought it would be you, Snivellus?
Sirius challenged, as he poked his head into the cabin, having waited for his friends only to find them being verbally attacked by Slytherin. He made his way in, hovering near Lily protectively.
Right. Like anyone would let you live in the same dorm as Lily after what you called her.
Snape clenched his jaw, his eyes narrowed on the limited space between Sirius and Lily.
I've apologized for what I said. An apology, Black. Is something said when you've accidentally or intentionally caused any form of injury to a person and regret the decision, putting their life at risk, for instance? Only sorry that I didn't try anything sooner, you son of a... All right, Sirius, thank you for waiting for us to finish our meeting, Remus said loudly, taking hold of Sirius's arms and dragging him from the room by force. He threw a look of apology over his shoulder to his friends on Sirius's behalf. Let's go back to the compartment now. Wonderful sheepdog you've got there, Snape quipped. Does he shed?
Maya narrowed her eyes, her hands shaking as she stared at Snape. Even Lily was looking angry on Remus's behalf, considering the summer he'd had, the summer they'd all had. James, strangely, was the mature one who kept calm and cleared his throat.
If you'll excuse us, Snape, we've got patrols to get through.
Snape rolled his eyes, acting the part now.
No, James insisted calmly. I'm just doing my job and trying to get through it without causing a problem.
Snape turned towards his former friend.
Lily, you can't seriously think he's changed.
Lily looked positively offended that, after everything, he had finally turned to speak to her, addressing her by her name and acting as though they were still friends.
It's also funny that Snape, who just talked about apologizing and trying to move on from his mistake, just went to Lily and said, like, how dare you think someone could change? It's like, you have a vested interest in her thinking that people could change, Snape. You called her a racial slur to her face. You should be very much on team people can change.
You would think?
But it is Snape, so, you know.
Such a polarizing character. Not really. Yeah, I fucking hate him.
Yeah, I mean, I am firmly on the the South Pole, if you will.
Yeah. No, I love the people who are like, but he turned out good in the end. I'm like, if the Chosen One had been Neville, he would have lived and died a Death Eater happily. So, yeah, like,
the thing that I always point to with that is, like, there's a difference between Snape turning good and Snape being, like, complex, but then him going out of his way to make fun of people like Neville or Hermione as a teacher, for no good reason. I think those kind of things put him beyond, you know, curmudgeon into just like needless jerk territory. And I just think that there was too much bad stuff for the first six books for his quote unquote redemption arc to to undo all of that. If you're really going to redeem him, it needed to start earlier, and he needed to be less needlessly mean as a teacher at a school for young wizards. Like, you got it. You can't. You're in a responsible position to shape young minds, and you're making fun of Hermione's teeth? Come on.
Yeah. When you have a student whose parents were tortured into insanity.
Yeah.
And his biggest fear is his fucking teacher.
It's pretty bad stuff.
Pretty bad stuff. Like, his biggest fear should have been Bellatrix Lestrange, not 100%, Professor Snape.
100%.
Are you just happy that Shoops is here, or do you have something to add?
I just think it's hilarious that, like, every once in a while we always have, like, a good Snape rant. Like, I feel like that happens.
It's
like,
inevitable. Just, you know, death, taxes, getting angry about Snape, the certainties in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when we were on the book rewind, that was like, what, a 30-minute conversation about Snape? Like, it was like half the episode.
Solid 25 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, time I well just spent. Think it's hilarious.
Time well spent.
Yeah.
It is. He's a piece of shit. Sorry.
Yeah, but then, like, because I'm the psychology master's degree, I had to be like, so what were his parents like, and why is he like this? Like, I had to be that person, But I also agree with what... But I also agree with, like, I think one of the episodes Mike did, he was like, we just like him because it was Alan Rickman, but the character itself sucks. And I was like, is how I feel.
Book Snape and movie Snape are two entirely different things. Yeah. I feel like if movie Snape's portrayal was done, like, as he is portrayed in the movie, if that happened in the book, I feel like it could have made his redemption arc more convincing because they take away some of the mean stuff. They add some nice stuff, like the shush at the tower. There are things that make him a little more redeemable in the movie that just weren't in the book. And I feel like it was JK's like second chance to be like, oh, I didn't make this guy nice enough. Let me use the power of Alan Rickman to make him more likable.
The power of Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman did make everything better.
I mean, he is charismatic and likable as Hans Gruber in Die Hard. Like, the dude's just a straight up terrorist. And when you watch the movie, you're like, that guy, not bad.
Yeah.
I hate that you're right. Lily, Maya reached for her. I'm fine. Please excuse us, Severus. We have patrols to get through, Lily said, echoing James with a tone of indifference. He doesn't deserve that badge, and you know it, Snape spat. The only reason Dumbledore gave the position to him is because Lupin can't be trusted. Dumbledore just feels sorry for Potter. Why exactly would he feel sorry for me? James asked, his temper finally rising. Because your mother died, Severus said heartlessly, as if that's some sort of accomplishment. He might have had something more to say, but whatever it was, he would be saying it from the floor, tasting blood through the words, if he dared. Maya stood over the Slytherin, her hands balled up and tight in a tight fist, glaring down as Snape clutched his jaw in pain after she clocked him.
Yes, another Hermione punch, yes! I'm on board!
This is the second time she's punched him now in this
book. Oh, good. I officially give this fanfiction my stamp of approval. More Hermione punches is a good thing. This is great. On board. Sign me up. Let's go.
Maya! Lily yelled in shock. You horrid, greasy little bat! Maya screamed. You bitch! He yelled back at her, rising to his feet and drawing his wand.
Have you learned nothing?
I'll do it again! Expelliarmus, James shouted, and Snape's wand flew into his hand. 10 points from Slytherin for pulling a wand on a fellow prefect. He glared with righteous anger at the boy, looking like he needed to take a moment to control himself, considering Snape had pulled a wand on Maya. She punched me. Maya was fuming, a large part of her wanting to hit him again. All her anger and grief over the summer had reached a boiling point, and Snape had put a target on his face for daring to speak about her mother's death so flippantly. To be fair, it's been a few years since I last punched your face. You were due for another. I fucking love her. 10 points from Gryffindor for assaulting another student, James said. Maya turned and stared openly at her brother in absolute shock. Wait, what? Jamie, you heard what he said about Mum. Yes, I did, James affirmed with a stern expression. Just because he said it doesn't make it true. Mum would be ashamed to see you resort to violence instead of taking the high road, or at the very least planning out something a little bit more
Slytherin. Not to mention you're both prefects and should be setting an example. What if the first year saw this? In fact, detention for both of you, he ordered, looking irritated. Meet with your heads of houses before the start of term feast to schedule it.
You can't, Snape began.
James cut him off quickly. I'm head boy, and I can. Maya, get back to the compartment. Lily and I have patrols to take care of.
You'll regret this, Potter,
Snape growled, before storming out of the room.
I'm sure I will, James muttered quietly.
I didn't know head boy could do that.
Yes, that's the exciting part about head boy. They can take points and give detention.
Yeah.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I guess, yeah. And a cool bathroom.
And a cool bathroom. It's like an Olympic-sized swimming pool. With bubbles. The bubbles are the important
Multiple part. Bubble faucets. Huge.
Yes. Big fan. Maya left the compartment to make sure Snape went directly back to his own. She would not put it past him to follow after Sirius and Remus to retaliate for what she and James had done. She kept her animagus hearing trained on the compartment, listening for her brother and Lily. Potter, thank you for being fair. James let out a long sigh of frustration.
Can I get extra credit if I tell you how incredibly difficult that was?
Lily actually laughed. Because she's your sister, or because he's Severus Snape?
Honestly, both. I'm not afraid of him. I am, however, a little afraid of Maya.
He chuckled nervously.
She's violent towards Slytherins, but she can be downright Slytherin to the rest of us when she wants to be.
I wouldn't worry too much. She loves you. But maybe have Peter taste test all of your food for a while. Poor fucking Pete. Like, I know he's a piece of shit and turns out to be a monster, but like...
At least not yet.
Not yet. No, actually, and obviously you haven't heard this episode, but in previous episodes during Valentine's Day, Sirius gets sent a lot of chocolates, a lot of which have love potions in them.
Ah, so they have a theme.
Yes, they have Pete taste test all of them, and they pin Peter Pettigrew down while he's proclaiming his love for all of these random girls. And when they come across clean chocolate, it goes to Remus because he likes chocolate.
Very cruel.
And it's very cute.
Cute and cruel at the same time.
Cute, yeah, poor Peter ends up with, like, you know, 15 love potions in him, and he's just like, I love everybody. It's great.
Also, Maya is known for sneaking potions into people's food and causing great crazy
the rainbow explosion chaos of 1974. Yes. She saw a mood ring and created a potion that would then turn your hair a color based on your mood. And, you know, so it's like black if you're envious, or green if you're envious, black if you're angry, you know, pink if you're in love, and sky blue if you are feeling exceptionally satisfied. And in a school with a lot of teenage boys who have just left the restroom in the morning, there were a lot of sky blue. So yes, she does have a penchant for poisoning food, but like not with poison, just with tricks. They shared a laugh. Outside of the compartment, Maya tried to ignore the flutter of happiness she felt for her brother and friend. It was cutting through her anger, and that was just annoying. Maya scowled at James from across the Gryffindor table in the Great Hall as they sat down to enjoy the start of term feast. She tried to convince herself that, had she been in his position, she would have issued detention as well. How many times over the years had she scolded James and Sirius for picking on Snape? She had lost count. Then again, Snape was cruel, and it had been a few years since Maya had punched him. Merlin. It had felt as good as it had the first time.
I bet it did.
It just makes me happy. But still not as good as punching Draco's pointy little rat face.
Nothing can compete.
Oh, it won't be that bad, kitten.
Sirius smirked at her from beside James, reaching over and pretending to check James's goblet to make sure that Maya had not slipped anything in there.
You've served detention before for punching Snivellus in the face. I should be the one who's upset. You've got to hit that greasy git twice, and I've missed it both times.
Maya pouted, folding her arms across her chest. I've had detention before, but never issued to me by my own brother. Maya, I can't believe I'm the one to say it, Lily said with a heavy sigh, but the head boy acted accordingly. I would have issued you detention as well, regardless of who started it. Sirius snorted into his own goblet. Head boy. If you like, I could pick a fight with someone and spend detention with you, Remus offered, with a mischievous look as he slipped a consoling arm around Maya, who finally let a smile break through her scowling exterior. Don't you dare, Lily snapped at Remus, her eyes blazing. I've been head girl for less than 24 hours, and already two of my prefects have been issued detention for fighting. I will not have a third go down, especially from my own house.
Can I spend detention with her? Sirius asked with a grin.
Lily sighed in defeat. As if I could stop you.
I'm really sorry, Maya, but you know I had to do it.
James frowned at her, and she finally looked up at him and smiled, offering silent forgiveness. Had most of their antics not been life-or-death situation, she figured she might have given Harry and Ron detention once or twice back in her original time.
At least your punishment isn't until next Friday. You can still come to the party tonight.
What party? Lily looked up anxiously. I don't recall giving permission for any party.
Sirius grinned. Head boy gave permission.
Lily narrowed her eyes at James, who smiled innocently up at her. What's this about?
It's nothing big, Lily, Remus promised her. Since James is head boy now and will be officially leaving Gryffindor Tower, we wanted to give him a proper send-off.
Oh, that's actually really sweet.
More celebration for us, though, now that we don't have to put up with his snoring, Sirius admitted as he patted James on the back.
Yeah, but the way these kids party, it's more like an excuse to party.
True. They play something called Veritaserum or...
Dare.
Dare? Yeah, that's what
it is. Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
that's
so...
way higher stakes. I do not like that.
Yeah, there's a proper dosage of Veritaserum that goes in a bottle of fire whiskey, and when you take a swig, it lasts for exactly one question. And so you can
convenient?
Do... yeah. And they got the recipe from Gideon and Fabian Pruitt, who are Molly Weasley's twin brothers and the original redheaded mischievous twins.
Ah, yes. The old school Fred and George.
Yes. Ironically, also named G and F names, Gideon and Fabian. Yeah, so they played that at, I think it was Remus's birthday? Yeah.
You know, I can understand. I feel like after a year plus, however long it takes before I can have any sort of company over, once the world is normal again, if I will be looking for any excuse to have a party, like, let's go, guys, big Arbor Day party. Come through, bring a plant, like anything we can do.
And you get a succulent, and you get a succulent.
Yeah, honestly, I would go. That sounds like a great party. Actually, I feel like everyone would love it. Yeah, you kidding me? You bring the beer, I'll give you a succulent as a going away gift, like as a parting gift, a party favor.
Can you make green juice alcoholic?
I mean, yes. Yes. Should you? Alcoholic. Different question. Can you? Of course.
Kind of negates the health benefits, but I mean, red wine is good for the heart, so like, you know, we can make it healthy.
Claire, it doesn't have to be healthy. We've been like by ourselves for like
okay,
2 years. How have we been like, eating, who cares?
During that year?
Oh, I've been even healthier because I've only cooked. We did delivery for the first time in quarantine for my birthday yesterday. That was like,
oh, happy birthday.
Was weird. Thank you. That was. I mean, I already liked cooking, and you know, just not eating in restaurants has made me healthier. So. I'm ready to be less healthy to make up for a year plus of good behavior.
See, I just got tired of cooking after a while, so I was like, frozen fish sticks, that's a fine dinner. So, thank God my husband loves to cook.
It's more of a celebration for us, though, now that we don't have to put up with his snoring, Sirius admitted, as he patted James on the back.
James turned and glared at him.
I don't snore.
Lily scoffed. Yes, you do. Suddenly, all eyes turned on her with interest. She flushed, apparently realizing the implications of what she had said aloud.
Cat, it's Mary.
Oh, Jesus. The Mary voice.
What was that? Mary smirked and scooted down the table to sit on the other side of the red-haired witch. Lily, dear, how would you know if James snores? Did the two of you get a head start sharing a living space?
For your info, oh yeah. By the way, Mary McDonald, I made her Southern, and I don't know why.
No, I think that's a good choice. I think that's a very strong choice.
Her last name's McDonald. It's like the song.
She has a farm. Yeah, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Also, her mannerisms when she talks just really fits into Southernisms more because she doesn't use British slang much, which really helps because British slang does not work in a Southern accent.
Yeah, true. It'd be weird to be like, hello, pop it.
Yeah. How you doing there, mate? Like, it just,
oh,
it
come
work.
Off it.
Oh, bloody hell. No, it don't work.
I mean, that was actually pretty good.
Oh, thanks. For your information, I did actually spend quite a bit of time at Potter Manor this summer, Lily freely admitted. I've spent time there over the holidays before, and I happened to witness him napping. That's all. Nothing as sordid as you're making it out to be. So caught up in their conversations, they all failed to notice the plates disappearing, nor did they hear Professor Dumbledore's send-off, but suddenly, all of the students in the Great Hall were rising from the tables. All right, fifth-year prefects, Lily spoke loudly, without shouting. Please escort the first-years to the common rooms. Make sure they know all the passwords, and try not to let any of them fall through the vanishing step. Sixth-year prefects, head out on rounds, and... Her gaze landed on Remus and Maya. Seventh-years, just try not to get into any more trouble. Maya opened her mouth to object, but Lily was already turning away, followed by James. Ouch, Remus said, wincing. I'm going to assume that she was directing that entirely to you. Shut it. Go on up to the tower and make sure Sirius and Peter don't get into trouble. I'm going to go talk to Lily. Good luck. Lily and James walked to the front of the Great Hall where Professor McGonagall was waiting for them, and Maya followed, lingering within earshot of their conversation, waiting for Lily in order to apologize.
Miss Evans, Mr. Potter, I wanted to first congratulate you both on the new position. I trust they will be treated with the utmost respect and seriousness?
Lily nodded firmly.
Yes, ma'am.
McGonagall turned to James, her gaze briefly softened.
Potter, I was so sorry to hear about your mother. She was a good witch. Please, pass along my condolences to your father, if you would.
Maya watched as a familiar grief flashed over James's features before he swallowed hard and pulled it back in. She wondered if she wore the same expression. What Slytherin there was in her, thanks to Daria, wanted to hide that expression as it left her vulnerable to onlookers. But there was something to be said about the way that same vulnerability softened her brother. Lily's proximity to him was evidence enough of this change.
Thank you, ma'am. Should I pass along your condolences to my sister and Sirius as well? James asked, letting a small smirk slip through and watch with interest as McGonagall narrowed her gaze, her lips forming a tight line.
I imagine I'll be seeing them both next Friday, she said with a stern expression. Fighting on the train, honestly. Please see to it that you keep your prefects in line this year, Miss Evans. I should hope the head boy will have no problem attending to his duties as well, with an ounce of maturity.
James offered her a crooked grin.
I'll try, Professor.
I won't catch the two of you hexing one another in the halls.
To be fair, James insisted, I've never hexed Lily.
And I've never been caught hexing Potter, Lily admitted smugly.
Which, facts.
All right, off with you both.
McGonagall began shooing them towards the exit, and Maya ducked behind the doors of the Great Hall, watching as they all stepped out.
There are patrol schedules for the two of you to write up, and I'll be busy ignoring the rumors of a party happening in Gryffindor Tower. I'm sure neither of you is aware of such a thing.
Of course not, Professor, James declared. If there is a party, you can be certain I'll put a firm stop to it. No parties in Gryffindor Tower after midnight.
11,
McGonagall countered, after a moment of contemplation.
Deal.
The professor...
Muggle, please.
I just love it like that. It's like dealing with your parents. It's like, absolutely, I won't be home late at all. I'll be home by midnight. And your parents are like, 11. 11! I will be home by then. The professor then turned and addressed Lily.
Miss Evans, can you show the head boy to your new quarters? I assume you're already aware of them since you've been pining for the position of head girl for 6 years.
Lily frowned, looking momentarily offended.
I wouldn't call it pining, exactly. But yes, ma'am, I know where our rooms are. Then I shall bid you both good night. McGonagall left them by the stairs, turning back towards the great hall where she made eye contact with Maya. Sending a particularly censuring glare in her direction, Maya bowed her head with a smile and held her hands up in a serious gesture of defeat before she sidestepped the professor and walked towards the stairs. James and Lily were hovered close together, looking over some parchment in Lily's hands, unaware of Maya's nearness. Curious, and before they could spot her, Maya disillusioned herself and silently slipped up behind them.
"Are you going to the party, then?" James asked, as he walked with Lily towards the staircase.
"No, there's too much to do," Lily said, examining what appeared to be a color-coded timetable for newt revisions. "I have to write up all the new prefect patrolling schedules, especially with Maya and Snape in detention next Friday. I have to figure out who to pair with their previous partners since they'll be unavailable. Also, with you being Quidditch captain, I imagine I'll have to work around that schedule as well, not to mention planning for newts."
"You could just take the night off, you know," James suggested with a laugh.
"That's your problem, Potter." Lily put her hands on her hips and sighed irritably. "You treat every night like it's a night off. You have to grow up sometime and actually take responsibility for things."
"Fair enough. I'll think about it, yeah?"
He smiled and turned his attention back towards the staircase where they saw a small girl in green and silver robes sitting on the bottom step, looking positively devastated. Maya was half tempted to cancel her disillusionment to help the girl, but Lily stepped up before she had a chance to even raise her wand. "Excuse me, are you lost?" Lily asked sweetly.
"No."
The 11-year-old scowled up at her and then frowned, looking back down on the floor embarrassed.
"Well, yes, but I don't want to go to my common room."
"Why is that?" James inquired
as he took a seat directly beside the girl.
"I'm a Slytherin," the tiny witch said, as though James were stupid and did not understand.
"I can see that." He gestured to her robes, and then, with a teasing smirk, asked, "What's the problem? You don't like green?"
The girl looked like she almost laughed, but caught herself before she did so.
"I'm a half-blood," she admitted very quietly with a frown. "Slytherins are only supposed to be pure blood. If I go in there, they'll just kick me out."
"They won't do that," Lily insisted, looking horrified that the girl had been led to believe such awful rumors. While she had never been friends with the girl on her original timeline, Maya remembered hearing that Tracy Davis was a half-blood Slytherin. She never saw the girl outcast from her peers, which made her assume that, even if Slytherin House was that discriminatory in this decade, that they had learnt acceptance with time.
"She's right," James gestured to Lily with a smile, "and she knows everything. So, I'm going to walk you down to the dungeons myself. When you go inside, you're going to go and find a seventh-year prefect, all right? His name is Snape. You'll tell him that you're a half-blood, and he'll take care of you. Now, he's a bit of a tosser."
Maya covered her mouth and nose to stop the snort that threatened to leap out just as Lily reproachfully snapped, "Potter!"
"But Slytherins happen to be pretty good at looking after their own."
James looked up at Lily with a tiny grin.
"Plus, he's a half-blood himself, I hear. And if anyone does cause problems for you, you come and tell us, and the head girl will hex them silly, right?"
The girl actually smirked at that, though she eyed Lily questioningly.
"You don't think she could do it, do you?"
James asked the tiny witch. He pulled up the robes of his left leg, showing a small scar on his shin.
"You see that? That was in third year, when this lovely witch set my trousers on fire."
So this is Tracy Davis. This is that's who the tiny witch is?
No, Tracy Davis was a contemporary of Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and she was a half-blood, and nobody gave her crap for it, so that's...
Who's the tiny little witch who's afraid?
She's a kid. Just random Hogwarts student. Maya just remembered Tracy Davis.
Is she really...
Yeah, no, she actually, I feel so bad. This story's made you so paranoid.
No, because I had a thought and I was like, wait, oh my God, is this actually Tonks? And this is how that other thing that confused me comes together. But
Catherine, I'm disappointed in you. What house is Tonks in?
Fuck, okay. Sorry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're wearing it.
I know, okay, you know what?
Also, I'm pretty sure Tonks is only like 3 years old at this point. No. No, she's... Hannah Beth, what's the age difference?
13 years.
Okay, so if they're 17, she's 4.
Dang it. Okay, never mind. This is going to bother me for a really, really long time.
It's just a kid. It's just a kid. I promise. There's no ulterior motive.
No, I mean, not this. I meant the other thing. Oh, yeah. About recalling Hermione Pack. That's going to bother me for a very long time.
You'll figure it out in about 26 chapters. It's fine. I'm totally spitballing here, but
it's definitely further than that. But okay.
50 chapters. You'll find out next year.
Oh, great.
Aren't you glad we picked a story that takes us 3 years to read?
Yeah.
Which you should never do, Lily insisted to the small Slytherin, eyes wide. It's a very bad thing. I was awfully regretful. The tiny witch finally laughed out loud. Okay. Wait for me, just there, James told the girl, pointing to a set of armor propped up against the wall as though it were guarding the entrance to the dungeons. When the first year followed his instructions, he turned back to Lily. I'll come back and find the headrooms when I'm done with the party. That all right? Fine, Lily said with a smile. Thank you for taking care of her. I know how you feel about Slytherins and Snape. He winked at her. Well, I've been told recently that I've got to grow up and start taking responsibility for things. She chuckled. Prat. Oh, here. He pulled a folded piece of parchment from his robes and handed it to her. Will you just take this with you to our common room and pin it to the wall? Just a reminder for me to take care of something later. I don't want to lose it. Maya tried to get a peek at the parchment, but Lily tucked it in with her other papers before she had a chance. Quidditch schedule? James smiled sweetly. Something like that. All right. Good night, Potter, Lily said, and turned around, walking away. Maya watched in affectionate amusement as her brother stared after Lily with a hopeless little smile on his face for a good 20 seconds before he spun around and skipped towards the first-year Slytherin, who stared at him as though he'd lost his mind. Ready? I guess. James held out his hand, and Maya smiled when the little girl hesitantly took it. Following her brother and the girl down into the dungeons, Maya waited until the first year was comfortably tucked away in her common room. James, knowing where he was not wanted, waited in the corridor until the entrance closed behind her. The moment he turned around to leave, Maya canceled her disillusionment. Boo! Ah! I don't know why, like, I act out the parts when I do. It's easier to read that way. Don't look at me like that. I just realized.
I'm not looking at you that way!
I was about to say, I feel very self-conscious. There's somebody here who's never seen me read before.
Oh, come on. I talk so the amount of times I've knocked my pop filter off of my microphone because I was moving my hands too much while I was talking, it's innumerable, so do not fret.
Yeah, that's why I don't have one anymore. I was like, fuck it, I'll just deal with the lack of pop filter because I keep hitting this thing. James shrieked, jumping a foot in the air. Scowling as Maya fell into laughter, he darted forward and grabbed her. His reflexes were nowhere near as fast as Harry's, but athleticism definitely ran in the Potter blood, and Maya's gracefulness and stealth ended with her wand work. Unable to avoid him, she found herself flung over his shoulder, still laughing. You're a Prat, and you've put on a stone since the last time I picked you up, James said, chuckling even as Maya tried to kick him for the comment. How long were you eavesdropping? Enough to watch you play nice with the baby Slytherin to impress Lily. I was playing nice to play nice. Inner house unity and all that rot, you know. I'm head boy, if you hadn't heard.
Okay, Percy.
I'm head boy. Oh, I fucking hate that guy. I feel so bad. Right? The actor's so nice.
Oh, Chris Rankin's the nicest human.
He's
so
wonderful. I love following him on Twitter, but his character makes me just like, bleh. I hate him so much.
Yeah, well, it's the same with Umbridge. I'm sure she's a nice person, too.
Queen Elizabeth, soon to be. I love The Crown.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's the final installment of Elizabeth II for The Crown. And I just feel bad because everyone was like, Umbridge. And I'm like, this woman has done so much in her life.
So much beyond. So much beyond the one role.
And yeah, when she was in the Downton Abbey movie, I went to go see it with Audrey. And like when she got in the screen, Audrey leans over to me because she goes, uh-huh. I'm like, okay, I get it.
God, I hate the... It just makes me angry.
She's a well-crafted villain.
She is. I think the Harry Potter fandom hates her more than Voldemort. And
oh, 1,000%. So. It's because everyone knows an Umbridge. Not everyone knows a Dumbledore. Or not everyone knows a Voldemort, but everyone knows an Umbridge.
I'm going to remember that. Maya smirked, cringing when James refused to put her down, even as he reached the stairs, his shoulder jutting into her ribs with every step. Head boy, you say? I just heard that you had a big head. He set her down after only one flight of stairs. When Maya teased him that he was getting old and out of shape, James chased her the rest of the way up to Gryffindor Tower. Also, I think this is why they don't have P.E. in Hogwarts. They don't need it. They're all walking fucking 30 flights of stairs a day.
Yeah, and especially since they change, it's like you're lost all of the time.
10,000 steps a day? Try 20.
It's really easy.
Yeah, because, like, that always, like, when I heard that when I watched the first movie and they're like, oh, yeah, the staircases changes. My first year there, if I ever was in Hogwarts, I would have such anxiety that I would not know where I was going and I would get lost.
And, like, imagine being, like, your classroom's at the top of the stairs and you're right there and then the staircase just moves and you're like, nah.
Yeah, it's like when we were in high school, do you know how many times I got lost our first year because I didn't know what building was what? And then once we left, they finally numbered the buildings and I was like...
Yeah, I love that. We spent 4 years bitching about how nobody ever knew what building was which. And then like literally the year after we graduated, they put up numbers. And I was like, you bitches did this on purpose.
Yeah, right? Like, I don't know. Just to me, that would give me such anxiety that like the staircase would move while I'm on it. And then I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm late.
When they reached the portrait, laughing and out of breath, the fat lady looked at them with disapproval in her gaze, but she let them into the common room without much more than a murmur. Maya crawled through the entrance ahead of James, and the moment they reached the other side, the gathered Gryffindors burst into song. Maya laughed as she misstepped and tumbled into Remus's arms. The Quidditch team lifted James onto their shoulders, singing what sounded like a wizarding version of "For He's a Jolly Good Fellow." In the corner, Sirius and Peter were popping the caps off of butterbeer bottles and handing out drinks to everyone.
"Already got one for you," Remus said, placing a bottle in her hand.
"Cheers," Maya grinned and took a long sip, smiling at the look of pure joy on James's face. It was good to see him happy after the summer they had experienced. It made her think of her father, and she wondered how he and Tilly were doing on their own back home. "I hope the younger years got up to bed before the drinks started being passed around," she said, spotting 2 fourth years being ushered up the stairs, pouting.
"Sirius suggested putting fire whiskey in sippy cups, but we took a vote against it."
Why?
I...
Sorry, I would love that.
Dangerous. That's how you get hammered and land on your ass real fast.
Is there a particular time in which you're... I know you're allowed to go to Hogsmeade your third year. Is there a certain time you're allowed to have butterbeer and stuff? Or is that not clear?
So
I guess fire whiskey is never truly allowed at the school.
Yeah, so I think butterbeer is okay. Basically whenever. I think it's like mildly alcoholic, but it's sort of like in Germany where they don't consider beer alcohol. Which, God bless Germany. But... fire whiskey, I think, is restricted until you become an adult, so 17.
Okay.
Or crap, 16.
17.
Thanks, Annabeth.
Also, the not alcohol thing is definitely Russia, not Germany. It's anything below 11% alcohol.
Seriously?
Which is
11%?
Which is just batch 11%, which is really high.
It's like wine, even. Damn. Holy crap.
Yeah. It's like most wine.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just Europe doesn't really have much of a drinking age as long as you're like there with your parents.
Most of the drinking age is like 15 years. Yeah.
Well, no, because I went to Spain when I was 11 and I jokingly, I'd had a sip of my dad's anise the night before and I really liked it because I liked black licorice as a kid because I was weird. And jokingly at the restaurant the next night when they asked if we wanted after dinner drinks, I was like, anise, por favor. And they looked at my dad and my dad just kind of like shrugged his shoulders and they brought me out a tiny little glass of it. And I'm like, I love this country. And then my sister just got fucking That's hammered amazing. On sangria because she ate all the fruit, and that was a bad decision. But just fruit that's been sitting in, like, you know, Cointreau for like 3 days. It's like, oh, that shouldn't have eaten that, but sorry. Now I'm just reminiscing. Maya snorted, half certain that Remus was not joking. There better not be any fire whiskey in here. Lily will flip her.
James!
The room fell into complete silence, and everyone turned their focus on the entrance where Lily stood, looking as though she had run all the way from the hedge room to the top of the tower. She was panting, her hair was a mess, and she had a crumpled bit of parchment clenched tightly in her hand. Did Lily just say... Remus blinked in shock at Lily, using James' given name. Sirius and Peter had actually gasped at the name falling from Lily's mouth, and Maya was suddenly gripping Remus's arms tightly, her eyes alight with anticipated joy. James looked up towards the entrance and smiled, not his egotistical smug, "Look at me, I'm James Bloody Potter" smile, but a smile that said he was genuinely happy that Lily had shown up. Maya watched as Lily's gaze connected with James, and she squeezed Remus's arm tighter. Lily held up a parchment in her hand. "You made the prefect schedule." James's face turned a soft shade of pink.
Yes?
"It's organized. It's color-coded by day and by house, and you even took into account detentions and Quidditch tryouts." Swallowing and looking around the room as all eyes fell on him, James looked uncomfortable with the attention, which was a dramatic shift in his character considering he acted as though he had been born in the spotlight.
"I mean, you like that sort of stuff," he said, shrugging his shoulders.
"How did you..." Lily began, looking gobsmacked. "You didn't even know the patrol routes. You've never been a prefect or..."
"Well, I was given a handbook, Evans," James said, his tone one of feigned offense. "I can read, despite what you may..."
"What?" Suddenly, Lily was running towards him through the small path in the crowded room, a hard, blazing look on her face. James quickly thrust his bottle of butterbeer into Sirius's hand as he turned to nervously meet Lily halfway, just as she jumped into his open arms, wrapping hers around his neck. And despite the fact that 50 people were watching, Lily kissed him.
Finally.
Because he made a schedule?
A color-coded schedule that includes...
The nerdiest version of the Harry, Ginny, Gryffindor Quidditch match kiss ever. "You made a schedule?"
Well, I mean, when your expectations are always, like, this big, when he actually does something right, it's exciting.
Yeah, I guess, like, making a color-coded schedule could be the nerdy schedule-type person equivalent of performing very well in a Quidditch match. I could see it. You know, scheduling's a sport.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally, though.
But yeah,
it
also
happened.
Finally.
Cut that tension with a knife.
And that's the episode. Yay! So
yay!
Shia does that to us. She either ends things on a cliffhanger, a really great line, or like a little bit of excitement, like Lily and James finally kissing for the first time.
Oh, that's very fun. Yeah. Wow.
So,
I feel like I was on for a very important moment.
You
the
were.
The release of all the built-up tension.
You also skipped all of the really depressing chapters. So like
Love
this
that.
Is the nice
Love
thing.
That.
Yeah. No, when I... Because we... You gave us the span of dates that you were kind of looking for. So I was looking mm-hmm. through those chapters, and as soon as I read this one, I was like, it's this one. There's great
nice.
Lines. It's humorous. Maya punches Snape. Lily kisses James. Like, this is the chapter.
It's monumental. I love it. It's good. No, that was very fun. It's a fun little story. Even only having like known bullet point stuff and then reading along, that was it's fun. I like hearing. I mean, everyone always wants the Marauders era backstory, so to do it, but then also have a time traveling Hermione in the mix is a fun little twist.
It is. Also, I like that she keeps, you know, the brilliance of Hermione, but she loses the give a fuck and just becomes more mischievous and more laid back, and so she's just a little more fun. Than she is
yeah.
in, you know, not to say that Hermione's not fun, but this one's a little less concerned about the rules. So
yeah, her fun and her knowing and being more comfortable of when to skirt the rules
yeah.
is a 7-year growth process. So she's already done all of that. Now that's all behind her. And also, like, if you were in a time travel, go back in time, your younger situation, I feel like you would have less reserve because it's almost like you're playing a video game with an extra life at this point where you're like, ah, it's bonus time. I can be spicier.
Yep.
But yes. Yeah, if I could turn back time. So many things different.
Yeah, except you needed to go into the sad place so that you could get into Potterless, and then we could get Mike here so that we could record with him. So, like, full circle.
Everything happens for a reason. Everything has its purpose.
Yeah, that was a big lesson for me. Everything has to happen for a reason.
Ain't that the truth? But speaking of big changes and big moves, would you like to tell us about this Kickstarter that you're starting for a new podcast?
Yeah, so at the time that this episode goes live, the Kickstarter for my new podcast project that hopefully will be reality if it gets funded will be live. So that podcast is called Modern Muckraker. It's a new show that I am developing where I will be, it's the first kind of like scripted show that I will be working on where I will be playing a like a Colbert Report style character doing what my character believes is to be the most intense, heavy hitting journalism, very important work. But the questions that we'll be answering will be things along the lines of when should Spider-Man take the subway instead of web swinging? So like deep dives into pop culture questions that no one has dared to ask and just going incredibly in depth with the research and getting incredibly overqualified people for interviews and putting a whole team together of writers and researchers and sound editors. So that's why we're doing a Kickstarter for it, is that I want to put a whole team together for it and pay them fair wages. So before we can launch into this endeavor, we want to make sure that we have the funds to where everyone can get paid what they deserve. Because everyone that I've worked with in podcasting, at one point in time, you've done something where you get underpaid or just not paid at all. And I don't want to work like that. So if you want to learn more about that and support the show and fund it to where it'll be a real thing, you can go to bit.ly/modernmuckraker, or you can go to modernmuck.com, which is the website we'll be setting up for the show and everything like that. But I'm excited about it. I'm very nervous about it just because I've never done a show that isn't just me kind of like speaking off the cuff. So to make a podcast that actually has like prep and a ton of pre-production work ahead of time is nerve-wracking. And I am trying to take a big leap and bet on myself and put together a team and make a really fun podcast. So I would very much appreciate any sort of support so that we can make this show that I've had the idea for many years, but just wasn't getting picked up in pitch meetings. So we're doing it ourselves.
Hell yeah.
But thanks so much for having me. This was a real fun time. I'm glad that we could make this crossover happen. I could meet you all and hear a little bit of this fanfic story. It was fun.
Yeah, we're super glad to have you. Also, I'm very excited about that podcast because that is 100%.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Okay, good. I'm glad because I am incredibly biased, but I also think it's a very good idea.
Yeah, and also, before you go, how are you liking the West Wing?
Oh, it's very good. We just watched Inauguration Part 2 earlier today. So like halfway through season 4. Really, really solid stuff. And I've been listening to the West Wing Weekly as I finish each episode with my wife, Kelly.
Me too.
It's been a really fun experience. I feel like I am getting to experience what, you know, like what you did with Potterless, Catherine, like kind of experiencing something for the first time, having a podcast to listen along, getting to hear super fans talk about it and get behind the scenes stuff. So I'm very much enjoying the West Wing. It's good.
Yeah,
I understand the hype.
I've watched it like all the way through maybe 3 times so far. Okay. Like, I just can't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. I will say towards the end of the whole series where he's not the president anymore and the other two guys are running, I did get a little bit bored.
Yeah, I've heard. I know Aaron Sorkin leaves after season 4, and I know it gets bored. A little downhill there. So
yeah,
I feel like I'll stick with it, but I am anticipate, like, I'm ready for it. I'm prepared to be disappointed.
Yeah, like, it's just, I don't know. It just got a little bit boring, but then you finally get, like, the whole tension broken between Donna and Josh and everything.
Yeah.
But, like, that was the only, like, yes, finally. But, like, and it's fun to see, like, where everybody is.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
After all that. But I got so bored, but I stuck it out because I wanted to finish it. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. obviously, since I've watched it all the way through like three times, I can't get enough of it. It's just like that ending part where I'm just like, really? Do we have to?
Yeah, I think if I can go through four incredible seasons of wonderful television, I can kind of trudge through three fine seasons.
Yeah, I liked your tweet today about Danny.
That Danny Kincannon, I fucking hate that guy. He gets every scoop. He's incredibly rude to CJ. He has bad hair and bad facial hair and bad suspenders. Like, he was kind of charming in the beginning, and then he just became this super reporter that gets every scoop and he's just become more rude to CJ, and I don't like it. CJ's the best character, and anyone that's rude to her does not deserve any good things to happen to them.
He's a piece of work.
I guess West Wing is going on my list of things to stream before.
It's good. It's really good. It's on HBO Max now. It's some good stuff.
Nice.
Did you watch the one on where they did it on the live stage?
I haven't yet. I need to watch all the special stuff, but I was going to try to make it through the show first and then watch the extra things they did, but I know it exists.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked it. Everybody's got their graying hair and everything, but it was fun. But it does prove that Rob Lowe does not age.
Nope, not at all.
That does not age.
All right, guys. Well, it is a new month. It is April, so it is time to thank the people. To all of our new patrons for April, because of how early this episode is being released in the month, we actually do not have the names of all of our patrons yet, because it does take some time for the charges to go through and to give you guys time to address any possible issues with charging. So, for today, we are going to thank our merch patrons one more time, and next week, we will be thanking our foxes, our stags, our dogs, and our wolves. We'd like to thank our foxes, Tyler, Laura, Becky, Jackie, Rachel, Becky, Camille, Carissa, Muggle Trucker, Leanne, Rebecca, Michelle, Sandra, Amber, Ryder, Cassie, Olivia, Ash, Ryland, Crystal, Heather, Amanda, Ashley, Connie, Emma, Sarah, Chelsea, Amara, Audrey. I'd like to thank Nevi, Jillian, Shelby, Roshan, Claire, Paige, Melissa, Lynn, Shannon, Martina, Hannah, Sarah, Tori, Kenny, Amanda, Dan, Samantha, Miriam, Kara, Jade, Laura, Michelle, Kara, and Jenny. Thank you so much, foxes. And thank you again so much to all of our foxes, our stags, our wolves, and our dogs. We appreciate having every single one of you support us. You are the reason our podcast is on the air, and we love you. And Kat, we will see you next.
Fire Whiskey Friday. Gotcha. Thank you for listening to another episode of Fire Whiskey and Honey.
A special thank you to Shyalani for allowing us to read your story.
And thank you to Blue Ivy Creations for creating our logo and Hannah Beth for editing our episodes.
You can find us on Instagram at FWHpod.
And on Twitter at FWHpodcast.
And on our website, FWHpod.com.
If you enjoy this podcast and would like to support and get extra content, please support us on Patreon and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you to those who support us already. We wouldn't be here without you.
See you next Fire Whiskey Friday.